Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and President-elect Trump might be a New York City native, but given that he only got 18% of the vote from his neighbors, is his election a bad thing for the city, at least when it comes to the economy? He has threatened to cut off aid to New York because of our sanctuary city status for immigrants here illegally. It's going to cost him a lot. I should say it's going to cost it's going to cost somebody a lot to protect him and his family while they're in town. But so far, Wall Street seems very happy. To talk about the possible bottom line impact of a Trump presidency on New York, I'm joined by Greg David, director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, a contributor to Crain's New York Business, and the author of Modern New York, The Life and Economics of a City. Hi, Greg. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
So I guess there are a number of factors at play in trying to assess his impact on the city's economic health. Is there one that you think is the biggest?
Well, I think the biggest is the amount of money the city and the state get from the federal government and whether something happens to that. $7 billion in categorical grants to the city, something like 9% of the entire budget. So, I mean, if he's serious and sanctuary cities get cut off of the money, needless to say, that would be a huge hole in the budget. But you know, you have to look beyond the sanctuary cities issue. So, for example, Republicans have long wanted to change the way Medicaid is funded. They want to make it a block grant. Well, New York State gets something like $40 billion from the feds, most of it for Medicaid. Significant changes in Medicaid could hurt the state. And by the way, if the state gets hurt, you can almost be sure that the pain or some of the pain has to be passed down to the city. And it's not just the sanctuary cities issue in another way, and that is Republicans, now in control of all three branches, want to pass a massive tax cut bill. While they haven't talked specifically, some of them want to fund part of it by cutting the size of the federal government. Well, that would be a big deal for New York State or New York City, even if we're not the sanctuary issue doesn't come to play. Our state and local budgets could get squeezed.
How about that, turning Medicaid and possibly food stamps into block grants for the states and cutting the total amount that the federal government spends on them? You know, when Mayor Bloomberg was in office, I interviewed his human resources commissioner, and that was a more conservative administration than de Blasio, and that human resources commissioner has now gone on to a conservative think tank. But he said he actually thought the city could be better off under the block grant kind of system and serve poor people better than they do now. Is there, by your assessment, is that a possibility?
Well, the rationale here is that the federal rules are so cumbersome that you could do it more efficiently. That's always possible, but I wouldn't put a lot of money in it. You know, the New York Medicaid program is pretty good. It's very expansive. I can't imagine that the Paul Ryan Congress would arrange it in such a way that states like New York would benefit. But I could be wrong.
Do you see any possibility that Donald Trump, as a New Yorker, even though he didn't get 82% of the vote here, would do anything to protect his home turf?
No, I don't. There's nothing that I see that would suggest that. If by home turf you mean the city or the program city government cares about, if by home turf you mean Wall Street, well, we've already seen what they think. So I guess it depends on how you define home turf.
How about his interest in a big infrastructure bill? New York City obviously needs a lot of public infrastructure, some private infrastructure too. But, you know, Trump mentions the airport. Of course, there's a famous line from Joe Biden that LaGuardia Airport is like something you would see in the third world. Trump also talks about the airports on a national basis. Does he have a keen sense of what New York's infrastructure might need? And we get big pots of gold from the federal government for that.
Well, he does have a keen sense that infrastructure in New York and around the country is in dire need of investment. We haven't seen a lot about what the specifics of this plan are or how they will be paid for. There are a whole number of people out of the progressive movement who are beginning to claim that it's a sham. It's just going to result in tax credits to the rich. You know, the detail, like like everything with Trump, the details are so sparse. Federal spending on infrastructure would be a very good thing. But you do have to remember, 80% of all infrastructure spending in this country is done by state and local governments. So everyone would welcome more infrastructure spending. But if you wound up squeezing their budgets, that would squeeze their infrastructure spending. We have to keep our eye on the details of the Trump proposal and what's the total impact of it going to be.
Listeners, if you have any questions on the potential impact of a Trump presidency on New York, New York City, New York State, you can call in for Greg David from Cranes and the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What do you make of the Wall Street rally?
Can we start with shocked?
Are you?
Most of the analysts expected a significant decline. I have been waiting for a significant market decline all fall, expecting when the markets, who had assumed a Clinton victory, realized that Trump would be a viable candidate, they'd sell off. They didn't. And I was expecting a significant market decline. So I am breathless.
And on the night of the election, as it started to become unexpectedly clear that Trump was going to win, there was at first like a 900-point dip in Dow futures. But then the Dow actually wound up going up, and it's gone up and up and up, and now it's over 19,000.
Unbelievable. So what can we make of this? Well, I guess what we can make of this is Wall Street traders are in the business of looking at the glass half full. And the rationale they've gotten on Wall Street is Trump and the Republicans mean less regulation. Translates into higher profits.
Less taxes also.
I think it's mostly about regulation at this point. Because if you look at that, the biggest winners, and I looked at the New York stocks in the last week or so, are all financial companies.
New York stocks are financial.
New York.
Wall Street.
Wall Street and the big banks are the big winners nationally and here in New York. And that's under the assumption that the regulatory framework, which has clearly been depressing their profits and squeezing their businesses, will go away. Lower corporate taxes, I guess Wall Street has decided we're going to get them. Clinton was in favor of them, too.
Lower corporate taxes.
So maybe we'll get them. And then the idea here is that a big tax cut will be done under Keynesian ideas. In other words, we're going to cut taxes and let the deficit go up, which should boost the economy. So that's their thinking. They're also assuming that none of the bad things happen, because economists are in general agreement that a trade war would be bad. Very disruptive,
so
and full of uncertainty. And if we start deporting X number of million immigrants, that will be bad for the economy too. So they've decided all the good things, all the things they think are good are going to happen, and none of the things they think are bad are going to happen.
And the trade war is just bluster, and it's never going to happen. How do you understand the financial stocks going up? Wall Street thinking that their own institutions are going to do well. Because you did have Trump, not quite to the extent of Bernie Sanders, but very explicitly, running against Wall Street, having its hands in everything. And Steve Bannon, who's obviously now the chief strategist, has talked about how, you know, he hates Wall Street. He came out of Goldman Sachs, and he thinks Wall Street bigs should have been in jail because of the financial crisis. And he wants to go after Wall Street in some way, apparently. But at the same time, they're talking about rolling back Dodd-Frank, which is exactly what Wall Street wants.
Exactly. So they're going to roll back Dodd-Frank. And more importantly, he's going to have a whole series of appointments to the Federal Reserve Board, which now is effectively the regulator of banks and Wall Street. So they might start reducing capital requirements. That's even more than Dodd-Frank. The fact that we're requiring banks and Wall Street firms to greatly increase their capital
as a safety net
so that when times get bad, they won't need a bailout. That's what's really depressing profits. That's what's forcing them out of risky businesses, even more than the regulatory issues, which have had an impact. That's where the big key is.
Jennifer in Cornwall on Hudson. You're on WNYC with Greg David. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. My question is about the security detail. If Trump is working out of the city during his term, and if his wife never moves out of New York City during his term, who is paying for all this, and why is he allowed to run up such a bill?
Thank you very much. And on how much this is, I've seen a figure of $1 million a day.
That's what the city's putting out. But look, this wouldn't be the first time the city sort of inflated a number like this, you know, throw it out and see what we can get.
That's,
I will tell you this.
That's the city's estimate of the city's share of protecting Melania and Barron?
No, of protecting Trump every day.
Trump.
While
oh,
he's
just
here.
Trump Tower.
That's
even,
when he
himself comes to the city.
All I do is I have one personal anecdote about this. So when he went to the Times last week, the J School's right next door, and they wouldn't let us out for lunch. I mean, I missed my lunch. But what I found interesting is the cops were nasty on the street. They were
to all of us
just trying to get next door. They were just generally nasty.
In what
and
way?
I thought
what
to
did,
myself, are they being
say?
Overworked or do they not like Trump? I don't know. But anyway, that was my personal anecdote. Look, the city's going to ask for reimbursement. It's probably at its worst now. We assume he's not going to work out of Trump Tower as president. But yes, he says Melania and Barron aren't joining him till June, so that will make some sort of complication.
And to the caller's question, what's the city's responsibility financially?
The city's responsibility is to protect the president and therefore to do whatever is financially necessary.
Is that not reimbursed in full by the federal government?
I don't know the precedents. The city's going to ask to be reimbursed. We will see.
All right. Lee in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello. Lee, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi there.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi.
Okay.
Yes.
We're
here too.
My question is, what's going to happen to the big hospitals like Montefiore in the Bronx? Most of their patients are Medicaid. And it's already an amazingly desperate situation there. What's going to actually happen to these people?
Well, I think that depends on what happens to Medicaid. But Montefiore is one of the great success stories in New York, so the finances are not desperate.
In what way? Because they've been
they've aligned,
consolidated.
They've created a full network,
yes.
And they've moved into Westchester.
They've been acquiring and growing.
Acquiring and growing. So their financial situation is not desperate. Well, this is a great unknown. We don't know. If there's a block grant Medicaid program and it begins with the exact amount of money we're getting now, well, that's okay. If it's a block grant program where the amount we get from the federal government doesn't grow, well, it's not going to be okay. But it is worth noting that New York State gets one of the lowest state reimbursement rates on Medicare that there is because we are a wealthy state and because what we have done is supplement it with state money as necessary.
Dave in Katona, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I just feel like Trump is bridge gating New York City. It's the no matter what he's done, we won't love him. And he's just going to tie up traffic and cost us money as a little tantrum against us.
By bridge gating, I mean it's political payback for a mayor and by extension a city who didn't support him. It's too early to know that, though.
I just think he does what he wants, you know. And it I was sort of, you know, that Friday he went out to his place in New Jersey. They tied up traffic forever. I couldn't figure out why he didn't take the helicopter. Doesn't Obama take the helicopter, you know, whenever he leaves Manhattan?
He gets blasted sometimes for taking the helicopter. Trump's got a lot of homes, right? We're learning. Besides what's going to be the White House, Trump Tower in the city, that golf club in New Jersey, Bedminster, and, of course, Mar-a-Lago. Where he conducted business or just took a break over vacation, over Thanksgiving weekend combination. So,
you know, we'll
are
see.
They having the same conversation in West Palm Beach?
Well, he's not there as much. Look, what is he going to do on the weekends? My guess is he's not staying in the White House, right? And he's probably not going to Camp David. I'm sure it's not up for his standards. But if he flies to Florida in the winter, wouldn't you do that? There won't be as much impact on the city. It's clearly better when he's not here.
We're almost out of time. We've been talking with Greg David about various articles that he's been writing about the potential impact of a Donald Trump presidency on New York, especially in terms of economics, because he's a business and economics reporter. And since you report on the economy, let me throw in one other thing and see if you have a take on it. One of the big stories over Thanksgiving weekend that a lot of people might have missed if they looked away from the news for a few days was Carrier canceling plans, or at least announcing that it's considering canceling plans to move, I guess, air conditioner manufacturing jobs out of the country. Trump had made a big example of Carrier during the campaign. Do you know what happened there?
Well, we don't know what happened yet. We do know that Carrier is discussing what to do. Carrier, which had said it was completely determined to, over the next few years, move its production to Mexico, is willing to talk to Trump. You know, Carrier's in a terrible position on this. One, if Trump offers them any olive branch to stay, that's good. Because if Trump does rip up the Mexican trade agreement, he can make it financially impossible for Carrier to do business from there. In doing so, he will make it financially impossible for thousands of other companies, and that would be the disruptive
trade. Through tariffs, primarily?
Tariffs. He can just, you know, he can end the North America Free Trade Agreement within a period of time, less than a year.
But he also talked about carrots, sweeteners. So is it tariffs on imports plus lower taxes on business? Is that the game plan as far as you can tell?
I can't. Look, he has said so many things about so many issues.
We're in the
post-policy. That are contradictory.
Yeah.
We're in the interregnum because we don't know what he's actually going to do. So I think that what – and, you know, I heard some of your first segment. You're saying he said this, he said this, he said this.
None
trying to parse
it.
What he says doesn't get us anywhere.
Yeah.
We need to watch what he does.
Absolutely.
And sooner or later, sooner rather than later, he's going to have to start to do.
Bannon, Flynn, Sessions. Just one note on Carrier. They may be more subject to federal whim than other companies because they're not just an air conditioner maker. They have defense contracts too, right?
But even then, he just can't like order people not to give them contracts if they're the appropriate bidder. Like everything else, there are laws. He just doesn't wake up tomorrow and say, take all the money from New York because they're a sanctuary city.
Let's hope those laws continue to mean something. Greg David, contributor to Cranes and the director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.